Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. I hope you're all doing okay. Everything seems to be moving in the right direction and seeing more smiles on the faces of people, which is nice. Today's episode is going to put a big smile on your face. I sit down with Tosca Jackson. Tosca, if you're unaware, was vital in the setting up of Kiss FM way back in the day. Tosca's recently launched an incredible new app that would literally change the way that you listen to music, and we discuss that on this episode. Before we get on with that episode, a few thank yous. I'd like to thank Scribius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. I would like to thank 76 for producing this podcast. And again, as ever, I want to thank you lot for continuing to support Off the Beaten Track and, yeah, just being bloody nice. Also, if this is your first time listening, then when you get to the end of this episode, go and explore the back catalogue. I was actually flicking through there the other day, and this sounds like I'm blowing smoke up my own arse here, but I just flicked through it and I was like, oh God, I forgot I spoke to him. I forgot I spoke to her. And there's a really good back catalogue now. There's over 300 episodes and some of your favourite musicians, comedians, actors, DJs, they're all in there. So go and get stuck in. Go and have a little root around and see what you can find, because there's some tidy little chats on there. This chat's about 50 minutes long, but I felt when I finished that this chat should have been 2 hours, 50 minutes, 3 hours, 50 minutes. There was so much more I wanted to ask Tosca, to the point that when we finished recording, I said, look, can you come back on? Because we didn't have the time on the day to sort of really stretch out the chat. But the stuff that you're going to hear on here is just fascinating. And I'd just love to have him back on. And so afterwards, we had the chat, and I was like, look, can you come back on? Because I want to dig even deeper on some of the things that you said. And he's like, yeah, cool. So you can expect a further episode with Tosca, because he's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Right, well, I'll keep telling you how fascinating he is. Find out for yourself. Please enjoy Off the Beat and Track Podcast. The wonderful Tosca Jackson. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track Podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Me, Stew with him.
Hey.
How you doing? Hey. Nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you. I've been trying to get in on the wrong link.
Right. We're here now. We're here.
Yeah, I'm here. And how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, mate. Yeah, I can't complain. It's a little bit drizzly out here. I'm in Essex. Whereabouts are you right now?
I'm West London.
Nice.
West London. I live in Shepherd's Bush, if I'm talking to one of you down with the kids. Olympia, if it's someone more official. And if I want to be totally flash, I live in Holland Park.
Lovely. Do you know what I was going to say? I'm going to press record now, but I'm recording already. I'm going to keep that in because I love that.
Yeah.
So the listeners can work out who you're trying to be today.
Yeah. My kids just can't deal with the fact that I live in, I might live in Holland Park. So it's fucking good. You know what I mean? We're down.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's what really needs to happen.
Okay. Tosca, I always start this podcast with track one, and I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Well, it's Girl, You Need a Change of Mind by the Brooklyn Express. I'm a soul boy, and the soul boys kind of, they come from Essex, you know what I mean? So
they do.
As a kid, that's, we had our stilettos. Well, we didn't have our stilettos. Our women had our stilettos, and we had fancy spats and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I'm a soul boy. And the record was originally done by one of the Ruffins. I think it was David Ruffin. And Brooklyn Express did a version in 1982. And I literally used to wet myself listening to it. I used to play the intro over and over and over and over again. Do you know what I mean? I think it might have cost me my first relationship.
Did you used to venture down to Essex? Did you go to the gold mine?
Yeah, the gold mine in Canvey Island. I went there. The sea battling against the front door. My first girlfriend was slightly older than me. She drove. She had like a little Fiesta.
Yeah.
And we used to go down there, and Chris Hill was, and it was really interesting because I remember him saying that, this record won't sound no good because I weren't singing on it. It's a single over records. And he was right.
Yeah.
it was right. There was one record, I always remember he used to sing 10% by Double Exposure. It sounded a lot better when he was singing over it. I was born in Forest Gate, so, which was, a province of Essex.
Yeah.
A bit of a study of the county borders and tube and underground trains, which is slightly bizarre.
Well, while we're talking formative years, let's get into the more serious records, and for track two, I'm going to ask you the song that you remember first having an emotional impact on you, please.
Right. Okay. And it's really kind of quite strange, but every time I hear this is Arthur's Theme by Christopher Cross, and I suppose that the essence of growing up in the 70s and 80s was, and it's not what I consider now, is that. It's a bit like pick and mix, right? I can like Vivaldi, you know what I mean? I can like Luther Vandross. I can like, Linkin Park if I want to. Mm. But very much when I was growing up, you kind of set, I was a black kid, lived growing up in the East End. I listened to reggae, whether it be Janet Kaye, Dennis Brown, all that sort of stuff. A little bit of my soul roots and the rest of it. But, I could listen to Come On, Feel the Noise by Slade, and think to myself, Noddy Oldham's got an incredible voice.
Oh, ridiculous.
You know what I mean? And I could sort of listen to Jim Lee's bass line, but I couldn't really own it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't really own it. I wasn't going to go into a comprehensive in Stratford and say, I was just listening to Slade. Count the melody, the thing they got going there. I mean, ran out of school. But with Arthur's Theme, I remember going to see the film, and it was a really a feel-good film, and it was kind of like everything seemed okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like one of those things where, you could be, arguments with family and siblings, and that song came on. Everything seemed to be kind of okay, and he was horrible looking. And he had like mad kind of curly hair, and he was overweight, and he wasn't what you'd expect a pop star to be. But the song was kind of a real kind of smash, and what I like about that song is that I'm always transported back to that time. You know, and the beauty of music for me is that kind of emotional communication and the fact that it always plays the same. Do you know what I mean? You put it on and it's always the same. It's always the same. And that for me was, yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, I really got that from that song.
And what was the emotion?
The emotion was that it can be all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's, you know, I kind of think to myself that a lot of my kind of, a lot of my life growing up was kind of filled with terror. You know what I mean? And I don't mean it in that way. It was kind of like, is it going to be okay for me? You know, I grew up in, you know, in a time where, you know, there were sus laws and, you know, and black people didn't really come to the front. I'd never kind of seen someone.
Yeah.
You know, the football club, which was 2 miles away from my house, you know, one of the first black players, Clive Best, and I love my football, you know, they're throwing bananas in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, in his book that he came out a couple of years ago, The Acid Test, people want to throw acid on him. So it was kind of, okay, you know, I watched this film and the bloke's an alcoholic and his friend lost all his money and this and that. And it was kind of, you know, it can be okay. You know, life doesn't have to be, a facsimile of what I, you know, of how I feel about it. You know, feelings aren't just necessarily facts. They're kind of, you know, and it can be okay for me. You know, and it proved that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of proved that way.
I think like people always kind of throw that song in. Like whenever you see these lists of like greatest one-hit wonders ever, he had a few though, didn't he? Did he do Ride Like the Wind?
Yeah, Ride Like the Wind. He did Sailing. I was in the West End just before lockdown and walked along and he was doing a gig at, you know, at London Palladium.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, you know, he had a career. And once you write songs like that, which were pretty remarkable songs,
yeah.
I think Arthur Sweet might have won an Oscar. Definitely won 6 or 7 Grammys. And I suppose that around about that time, that kind of singer-songwriter, you know, whether it be Dean Friedman, whether it be, which we didn't really, in the community that I was in, which is soul community, I never really kind of got that, okay, I'm just going to write a song.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm just going to, and, you know, obviously there's Marvin and Stevie and the rest of it, but they're careerists, you know what I mean? They are, you know, people that have done the hard graft and that sort of stuff. But with Christopher Cross, he, you know, you're looking at him, you think, well, he didn't have a lot going on. but, you know, he could write a great song.
Absolutely. And I think maybe some of the sort of recent love for him is, I guess he's been kind of thrown in with the yacht rock gang because kind of, I think, like Ride Like the Wind and stuff like that is very much in that kind of, how you'd even describe what yacht rock is, I don't know. It's but it's glorious, and I definitely think them songs kind of, you know, would definitely find their way into one of them yacht rock playlists.
Yeah, and I think it kind of reminds people of a time and place that, you know, I tend to think that people that are, you know, around about the 50s, mid-50s, but older and the rest of it, it's really kind of relevant.
Yeah.
You know, and we think about, you know, the charts really were only 20 years old at that time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it, you know, and it became like the soundtrack to, you know, Top of the Pops was really important. You know, music had taken on a whole new kind of, it was really kind of part of popular culture. And I think that we're always, you know, I was having a conversation with someone before I came online and someone was talking about, you know, the fact that you could do, you know, and just a pure station just for 50s, just for people in their 50s.
Yeah.
Kind of going back just from the 80s and the rest of it and how rich and the depth and breadth of music was at that particular time. You know,
absolutely.
He was a real craftsman. He was a real craftsman, and that sort of record will stand the test of time. They'll play that record, you know, in 50 years' time.
100%. I mean, while we're talking Top of the Pops and you know, that kind of introduction to music, it seems fitting that for track 3, I'm going to ask you for the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
And that's, I think it's Mr. Bojangles, right? Is that Mr. Bojangles? Yeah, so it's kind of like everybody, I suppose. I grew up in an era where, you know, immigrant parents and, you know, our front room was like a haven. You never went there. It's still the same in my mum's house. You can't go in my mum's front room. It's kind of like, it's still kind of cling film on the sofa. You know, 25 years ago.
Love that.
And you know, and on a Sunday, we could listen to music. On a Sunday, we'd go in there and we'd listen to music. My dad used to give me 5p for every dance that I did, you know, so I got my pocket money. And Mr. Bojangles was one of the, Mr. Bojangles was kind of 74, 75. So I was still at primary school and, started primary school. So it was kind of a record that kids I went to school, black kids I went to school with in Stratford, David Finlay, Milton Dyer, Francis Pierre Louis, people, you know, that it gave us some sort of connection. You know what I mean? At home, because we weren't listening to that at school on the radio. It was kind of old. And every home had 1,000 volts a hole.
Yeah.
Every black home had The Harder They Come and 1,000 volts a hole, and they had 2,000 volts a hole.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, and it was that record that we could all kind of, yeah, in the playground, we all kind of nod our heads saying, yeah, you know, we're part of the game. You know, your mum and dad haven't got 1,000 volts to help, you know. And it was, yeah, and when every time I hear it, it does take me back to the playground. It takes me back to, you know, and with the advent of Facebook and social media, some of those guys, you know, I'm back in touch with.
Yeah.
You know, and if I wrote 1,000 volts to help as a Facebook page, you know, I'm sure that 1,000 people would get in touch about their experience of that record because it's that sweet, you know, melodic reggae, you know, that wasn't, it wasn't Susan Cadogan, you know, It Hurt So Good, and it wasn't Janet Kay, and it wasn't that, it was kind of just a little bit under the radar and gave us kind of nodding rights, you know what I mean? We could all kind of, I know that one, you know, so. You know, and it's a great song. It's a great standard song. It's a great.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you have any idea what you wanted to do when you was at school?
I even wanted to play football or sleep all day. And I think that's what I did, actually. I think that's what I did. I kind of played football and slept all day.
No, I didn't.
I didn't have any idea about what it is I wanted to do. When I look back at it, no, I didn't. You know, I stumbled into the kind of work that I ended up doing, and it was okay. I, you know, I, I didn't have any ambition. So if you haven't got any ambition, it's kind of like anything up from that kind of position is a result.
Yeah.
I just wanted to eat, you know what I mean? And that, and some days I did that and other days I didn't do that. Yeah. You know, it was, it was kind of, that's how it was really. But it was always, music and sport. It was always, that was the kind of thing that kept me, that kind of nourishment.
It's so weird. It's like I've recorded over 300 of these now, and the amount of musicians or people that are producers or DJs that I've spoke to, and I've said, "What did you want to be at school?" And it was like, either wanted to be in a band or I wanted to play football. And it's just like, now when you think, there's got to be something in that mindset, because fundamentally they're two of the most difficult industries to reach success in, the most competitive industries. Both of them are so cutthroat. And with that, I'm going to ask you two questions. Would you say, in the field of work that you've worked in and achieved success in, would you say you're confident?
I think it's about your thinking. I think that, with KISS, which we kind of started, like 84, 85, and it was because of the time, there was four kind of radio stations. There was, Radio London and Capital were playing some kind of black music. Peter Powell did a show on Radio 1 where he had a DJ on every hour on a Monday to play some sort of black music. So, and I also think that some people won't like me for saying this, but Margaret Thatcher kind of created an environment where it was kind of okay to kind of look beyond yourself, look beyond what it might be and what it wasn't. And I think that KISS was just an opportunity that everybody saw. Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like, it's clear every single weekend, there's people going to these clubs listening to this sort of music, and it just wasn't represented. And so, I think I was really confident in respect of that. KISS was formed out of London Greek Radio, LGR, George Powell. He kind of put the money up for KISS. And that happened because he started a Greek station, which was the first Greek station to get, as the first London-wide station to get a license when, Ofcom created, the licenses, which KISS, Jazz FM, Choice and all those stations. He was the first one to get it. So he started that as a pirate. And we kind of, it was just right for it. It was a bit obvious. And at the time I was a teenager, and I suppose that I didn't really have a lot to lose.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was kind of like, okay, let's, and you got the enthusiasm of being a teenager. So it's kind of like, okay, let's do this. And your ego gets involved and people take to it. So
what about the drive? Idea, was you driven?
Drive?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, that came out of necessity.
Yeah.
It came out of necessity. I think that, and also, not Stu, I just think that there's kind of stars aligned and there was an opportunity. No, it's a bit like, if I was making electric cars like 10 years ago, smashed, be able to clean up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just if you think that way, if your whole life is getting up in the morning and playing music and thinking about music and that sort of stuff, and I started DJing at that time, you sort of think, how can we get a bigger audience? How can there be a wider audience to that? And I think that it wasn't rocket science.
Yeah,
it wasn't rocket science. I do believe, though, that we come from a generation because of, the impact of what happened politically and the rest of it. We come from a society of doers.
Yeah.
I think to myself, I think to myself that when my dad was, 45, he was, wearing a jumper and a tie and sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something that I couldn't imagine people doing these days. So society changed. you know, I think opportunity came with society changing, and people were driven because it was there. It was kind of, you know, and you could jib the tube fare for 10p as well.
It's always bad. You know
what I mean? You know, you didn't have all these barriers, and that's that's kind of the, you know, if I was to, definitely you could jib the tube fare so you could get around. So that was kind of like, I've gone old with me.
Well, I imagine one of the places you'd be bunking the fare to was the record shop. And so.
Yes. It's the record shop was Mecca. And you went there and, you know, and you saw those people, you know, like those bigger people like Pete Tong and, you know, and Chris Hill and, you know, Martin Collins used to work in the Groove and that sort of stuff. And people would play a record and you'd work out, you had enough money to buy it, you know, and all of that stuff. And, you know, it was kind of. You'd go from whether it was Groove down to Uptown, down to Black Market, City Sound, you know, trying to find something. And it was, you know, and it was kind of, and you used the word drive, and there was a lot of drive, and there was, you know, and I do think that I had a connection with it at a certain point and wasn't kind of healthy. I do think that, you know, it definitely cost me my first marriage, but that's another story.
Well, with record shops in mind. Moving swiftly on, what was the first record you remember buying from a record shop, Tosca?
I remember buying The Wonder Review by Elvis Presley when I was 5 years of age.
Okay.
And it was from Keddies. Keddies?
Yeah.
Keddies in Stratford.
I did not know that was a chain. We have one in Southend. I did not know the Keddies was a chain. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Keddies. And I remember playing it and I remember thinking this is just a great song.
Yeah.
You know, I think it cost me like 20 pence or something. And it was just great. And, you know, and I used to stand there with my mum's, there used to be an antiperspirant called Mum.
Yeah.
A roll on, and I used to stand on the sofa, you know, doing my rendition because I think it's like a live version. I think it starts with a clapping.
Yeah.
You know, I said to that. Yeah, and it was just a great song. And at that particular time, I'd been five or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really about, you know, genre or whatever. It was about what moved me.
Yeah,
and I think
cool.
It's about 2 minutes, 46 seconds, which is a perfect length for a song because after that, you just play it again.
Yeah.
It's not enough. You've got to play it again.
Yeah.
You've got to play it again. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I want to move on to track six because this is the one that this is the one that I'm interested to know more about as well because I'm sure there's many records to choose from here but I'm going to ask you please to tell me the song that soundtracked your years clubbing.
You Can't Hide From Yourself. Yeah, and you know, and it's kind of, you know, and again, the thing about Teddy Pendergrass, the thing about it was synonymous with my family. You know, my mum used to go and see him, used to do shows at the Apollo. It was very much, I suppose, in those days, an artist like Teddy would play for black people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It was like a black artist, he'd play for black people. You fast forward that 30 years later and you're listening to someone like Kanye, the whole audience are white.
It's so weird, though, because, like, I'm 48, and so I kind of... My sort of years of like being 14, 15 was you know, my first gigs was like Cameo, Van Dross, Alexander O'Neill. Okay. It was that kind of era. And and we'd, you know, when we go like record shopping, we'd hear about Teddy Pendergrass. Right. But our knowledge of Teddy Pendergrass was Lenny Henry's pastiche of Theodopoulos, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And that was like, and it was only when I watched
The
fucking hell, how good's that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I mean, what a story. I had no idea. Like, I didn't know he was in Harold Melvin. I had no idea about that. Like, and obviously I was very familiar with all of their records. I didn't know Teddy Pendergrass was the vocalist. Like, just crazy.
Yeah, he was a man. And it was, and what I think that, you know, and why I talk about Teddy in respect of that,
yeah,
is that I could go to someone like Legends, which was kind of like more upmarket, and you know, and there was a more of a white crowd in there. and I could go to a black club like Kisses or that sort of stuff, or the Bouncing Ball, the Electric, and you'd hear it across all of that. And, you know, and it was, you know, you can't hide from yourself. You know, it's an impossibility. Do you know what I mean? And to be dancing to that, as, you know, and it was just, you know, Gamble and Huff, you know, great bass line. Do you know what I mean? You just get lost in the song. And even to this day, we do a club here in London called the 40-something Disco, which was Tatler's Club of the Year a couple of years ago. And it's, we play it now and people would delight. It's kind of like, it's, you know, it's kind of, okay, it's low down, it's dirty, and it's kind of like, okay, I want to get into this.
Yeah.
And he's such a great vocalist.
Yeah.
You know, so whether it's a dance track like that or Wake Up Everybody or Turn Off the Lights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, it's kind of like, okay. And that's, you know, what you'll see in a documentary, most of his hits were that Turn Off the Lights or Wake Up Everybody was big. But they were kind of the ballads.
Mm.
But he, you know, he could storm a dance club.
Yeah.
Absolutely storm it. And yeah. So for me, yeah, I hear that and I think, well, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it, and it takes me back to Legends, you know, and it takes me back to the Electric, it takes me back to all of those sorts of places where, and it's just got the embassy, you know, even in clubs like that, they would, you know, everyone would, you know, if you want to get Wag on a Friday, if you want to get it back, just stick off, but you can't hide yourself, you know what I mean?
Listen up, I've only got another new sponsor, Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range. And it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. I'm going to take you back to London now, because for track six, Tosca, I'm going to ask you a favourite song from an artist from your hometown, please.
London Town, Light of the World.
Lovely.
Great song, you know. Down through Trafalgar Square, up through Regent's Park, down through Trafalgar Square. And it is, you know, it's one of those songs that even now Robert Elms will play on, you know, on Radio London. What's the other guy? There's a guy on Radio 2 that used to play it every now and again. You know, I'd be in a car with my mum and listen to Radio 2. You think, oh, okay. And it's synonymous with London. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, Light of the World. You know, I know a few of the guys. Nat Augustin, G Bello went on to have a bit of solo work in LA. You know, it's London. It's kind of, that's where I come from. It's kind of my era, you know, and whether it be earlier stuff they did, like the Boys in Blue and the rest of it. But that was, you know, and their biggest hit was I Shot the Sheriff, which was obviously the Eric Clapton, Bob Marley kind of cover, which, but London Town is the archetypal. It kind of nails it for me. You know, and even, I'm sure I saw top 500 songs on a radio station recently, and it was number 13. You know what I mean? And that, it doesn't surprise me. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, and when you think about it, you know, London, I was walking across the Embankment Bridge the other day, you know, as sort of, clearly it's getting lighter and lighter, and it was about, you know, 9:45. I just looked along and I saw the phone box building, St Paul's, and everything. And there is no greater town than London.
Yeah, absolutely.
there isn't, and that's a nugget. It's kind of like a gem. And again, they'll be playing that in 50 years.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know, test me of the grace.
Well, I'm not going to ask you last track just yet, because that last track is, you know, where you get to influence and turn someone onto something new. Ahead of that, I want to talk about your app.
Okay, yeah, Stack Radio app.
Right, tell me about it.
Well, it's kind of like me and Max Wigram, a man that I know from nightclubs. He wasn't really a dancer, he sort of stood around because he's a bit of a gent. And he didn't get hot and sway, but, you know, we know each other a long time. Arsenal supporters went to the European Cup final, which we lost in 2006 together. You know, we knew each other from around the way, and he'd been in art, and obviously I'd done what I'd done. You know, we got talking about, you know, what would it be like to put something in somebody's hands that were, you know, that kind of had all the elements of a radio station that we, you know, what be the elements of a radio station that we liked and the elements of a radio station that we don't like. And I suppose for me, it's kind of like the idea of Spotify and the rest of them and Apple, and they're great. I kind of use all that stuff. But the idea of a long tail and determining what it is that I want, yeah, by some sort of algorithm, is it's kind of like, you know, I might have read, you know, recently I might have read something by Aleister Crowley. I don't want every single drug book in the world being shuffled down my throat. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like what I really want is someone to do my thinking for me, right? That's really what I want. You know what I mean? And my thinking is, and with that comes a certain element of trust. It's got to be a certain element of certainty. So it, for me, it's not really what Pete Tong might play, or, for example, Colin Firth just done some playlists for us, Rufus Wainwright's just done some, but it's not, it's kind of like, what do they listen to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, what are your influences? What do you sit down with? And, you know, how do you, you know, I remember meeting a guy once. And I met him through his sister. We went around to see him, and he was sitting in his flat listening to tech house, right? Yeah, techno house. Like, just sitting there, thinking, he's like insane. And he'd never been to a club. He'd never been to a tech house club. And he'd listened to Dave Clark and all these kind of like really heavy duty, you know, mad house guys. And I was thinking, wow. Said, unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. He was a city boy, you know, drove a BMW and went to work every day, but sat in his house listening to that stuff. So, you know, what his motivations are, I don't know. And I suppose for us with Stack, by having mixtapes from individuals who you might look up to, you might think, well, okay. And it's not really, it's more about, okay, what do you listen to? What kind of inspires you? And that's the kind of the segment of it, which is around personality. Yeah. So, what kind of drives you? Give me a chink in your armour, you know. And I think what music does on that level, it gives you a real opportunity to be authentic.
Yeah.
It gives you a real opportunity to be, you know, who you really are. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, I'm a black man who lives in West London with dreadlocks. Do you know what I mean? I believe it or not, I don't smoke ganja all day long and bop me head to Misty and Roots. You know what I mean? I don't, but if you want to know about, you know, if you want to know about someone, have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's what we try to do with Stack, is have a conversation. So the people that are doing the mixtapes and the rest of it, and, you know, some of them are around the WAG club. So Chris Sullivan, who ran the WAG, it's kind of like, what was synonymous to someone who's working at the WAG at that time that kind of motivated him? So it's kind of, it's a window. It's just a window into, you know, miscellaneous worlds.
Yeah.
And in respect of that, with the kind of, we have fast, medium, slow, what we're saying to you is trust us.
Yeah.
Trust us, right? Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, don't get into, you know, just press this button, yeah, and we'll give you great music.
Yeah,
just press this button and we'll give you great. You don't have to sit there playing the same playlist. You know, the reason people run to the same playlist is they don't trust anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they've been listening to it over and over again. Oh, God, they know what's going to come and the rest of it. But with us, you know, for us, it's a bit like, we want to reverse that. We want to reverse the algorithm. We're going to turn around and say, look, you live busy lives and the rest of it. Just have a go at this. Just try this. You know, it's 20 quid a year. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to bankrupt you.
Yeah.
But every now and again on a Sunday morning when you think to yourself, you know what, I'll listen to some music. Just press this button and, you know, and it'll introduce you to stuff that you remember from years gone by but can't remember what the title was. Stuff that you might have heard once before and thought, oh, I really like that. But, you know, and we all live busy lives. So for us, the whole the idea of Stack is, let's have some certainty. I'm going to hand it over to these guys for half an hour, a day or whatever, and see what they kind of come up with, see if I like it. And if I want to peek into someone in like Rufus Wainwright's world, now what does motivate them? You know, he might sit there listening to Pinky and Perky. I don't really know.
You know, he doesn't. That would be incredible if he did.
But it just gives you, it kind of gives you the sense of authenticity.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Kind of like, okay, we're not going to say, well, okay, well, he listened to Usher.
Yeah.
So clearly, you know, he must be into urban male vocalists.
Yeah.
So we're going to give him this and we're going to give him that until he kind of presses on one. We're not kind of really into that. So I suppose it's the anti-Spotify. That's what I'd kind of call it, you know.
It sounds amazing. And what I'll do as well is I'll link it on the bio to this episode as well so people can literally go and explore it if they haven't already. And while we talk tastemakers and creating playlists and having a peek into someone's record collection to find out more about who they are. The last track I'm going to ask you is a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
All right, okay, that's Happy Heart by Andy Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the record.
Yeah.
I love the record. And I think that, you know, when I was a kid, I worked for CBS Records and the guy that kind of worked with me, Mark Winwood, he kind of said to me, I used to smoke loads of weed, so I didn't really listen to him a lot. But he sort of said to me, you know, I know producer Spencer Davis and stuff like that. He used to tell me this sort of stuff wasn't really listening. But he said, you can't be a great melody. Do you know what I mean? You can't be a great melody. And what I love about this song is that it doesn't really matter about the words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter about the words. And I think at its best, music is emotional communication.
Yeah.
And it does take you to a place that, you know, you might not have been before you listened to it. And that's one of those songs that, you know, and also a pal of mine, Andrew McDonald, who produced Trainspotting, we're born on the same day. He used it as the outro for Shallow Grave, like his first kind of film before Trainspotting. And it's just, you know, a remarkable piece of music as far as I'm concerned. Like, you know, he could have sung two verses and a chorus and just left it there, you know, and just let it roll out. And everyone would be, you know, oh, yeah, this is just a fantastic piece of music. And it's, yeah, I mean, whenever I'm feeling depressed, which I have to say isn't that often, but if I want to go back to, you know, a long hot summer in the 70s, and I feel really kind of liberated, I will stick it on. You know, I'll drive around, stick it on, play it really, really loud, and it's, you know, it's I mean, it is 3 minutes, that one, but 3 minutes may be a little bit too long, but it just takes you right back there. And yeah, and you know, and I love it.
Beautiful. Tosca, we put together a playlist. Unfortunately, not on your app. It will be on your anti app. It will be on there, so people can go and listen to all the songs that you've chosen today. But I will obviously add links to where people can go and explore your app.
Yeah, and you know, maybe you should give it to us as well. Maybe we should put it on.
Let's do that. Let's do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Well, look, let's not worry about the other one then. We'll be an exclusive then. We'll do it over on yours.
Well, yeah. Let's do it with us, and you know, I'd like that a lot.
Perfect, Tosca. Thank you so much for your time,
Stu. It's been emotional, mate, and we'll speak soon.
There you go. Told you at the beginning, didn't I? How interesting is Tosca? I'm going to drop him a text right now and secure a date for a return, because there's so much. As you've just heard, he has done a lot in his life, and it's been a very, very interesting life. And there's just so much more to dig into, and I want to ask a lot of questions. So I would definitely be having Tosca back for a follow-up episode. In the meantime, go and have a look in the archives. 300 episodes. And if you want more, I have a Patreon, and there's 300 episodes over there as well, of radio shows and video episodes and all sorts. And that's 79p a month, just 79p a month. And by signing up to that, you support the podcast. And other than that, likes, loves, shares, retweets, all the usual stuff on the socials really helps. Word of mouth, that's good. If you just want to say to one of your pals, "Have you heard this podcast? It's well all right." Then do that. And yeah, enjoy the loosening of restrictions. Enjoy the sunshine that we seem to be having a little spell of at the moment. And I'm saying that as I'm recording this, I'm not 100% sure when this episode's coming out. So if it's pissing down outside your window, then just take note that it was glorious and sunny when I recorded this. I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.